Well, I'm thankful this afternoon to the Lord to be here. Not just this afternoon, but I'm thankful to be here because I realized, as we sang the song, I thank God for the lighthouse. I realized where this ship would be. Realized what it could have been. I look at some that I spent time and was friends with and going on the same path with, and I look aware just in my short time where that path has taken them, and I say, Lord, thank you that I'm here with your people and that I have a home of the soul and a place of a relationship with the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for the Lord's mercy and faithfulness, that He's willing to shine forth a light, that He's willing and desires to expose the submerged traps, thank you, the hidden places, the hidden rocks, and the things that would destroy any one of us along life's way. I'm thankful the Lord desires to reveal those things. Yes. Have a thought the Lord's been talking to me about for a little while. Ask for your prayers, the Lord, and help us to be able to bring it forth. I'd like to look at the 8th chapter of the book of John. John chapter 8. Familiar passage to us. Some of the Lord's dealings with those He had to deal with so often, the Pharisees. Beginning in the 28th verse. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I hear and understand that this is a time of celebration for our nation. A time that many families will shoot off fireworks and have cookouts, and I enjoy all those kind of things. A time whenever they try to get together and celebrate and remember what our country is founded upon and the things that have made us what we are and the liberties and freedoms that we of so few really upon the face of the earth are able to enjoy. But you know, whenever I look at it, it's also with a sadness within me, because I can remember times as a child I'd go through history class at school, or I'd ask somebody, and I remember feeling a certain pride in our nation. Remember whenever I'd hear the stories of the battles that America has fought and the different world wars that America had engaged in and the military power and so forth that they had been able to show. And I just remember as a child thinking, what a great nation. As I began to understand, that's not what made America great. It's not in military prowess. It's not in that ability. But as we've looked at those things and the greatness as perhaps we could consider of America, you know, there is an enemy that has defeated America. There is an enemy that has come in, as we've written on the board, an enemy within. There is an enemy, I believe it was Nikita Khrushchev that said, we're going to, and paraphrasing part of this, we're going to overcome America. We're going to be able to come in and take over America at a time whenever America was so paranoid of communism. Didn't want anything to do with it and had their eyes out for communists or sympathizers of that. But he said, you wait. You wait and see, and we're going to conquer America.
And they no doubt could have said, how, come on. How do you think you're going to do that? Whenever we, about the greatest military force on the face of the earth, and you think you can do that? But he said, we'll do it without firing a shot. We're going to be able to come in and defeat America without firing a shot. I believe that the danger for us is not just the, we hear about the terrorist activities and the dangers and threats of terrorism and those kind of things, but there's a greater danger to us. It is an enemy within. It is an enemy that's already within the walls of the city, so to speak, that's already destroying and has defeated this nation. The Jews here that he was talking to considered themselves to be a free people, which, although they were really under the bondage of another nation even here, they considered themselves not to be slaves or not to be in bondage to any man. And they said, we are free people. We're the sons of Abraham. We are by lineage and by, we are heirs of the free lineage, of the child of promise. We're not in bondage. We're not bound to any man. But what they didn't realize was there is an enemy within. There is an enemy within that you've not conquered but has conquered you. And you can look out and be so focused on the external, so focused on what you can see around you. And we know by what we read and what we understand of history that that's what they were concerned with more than anything. We want our Messiah to be one that could come and give us deliverance from the bondage and the oppression of other nations. We want to be able Him to set up a kingdom in a literal sense that will be able to have dominion over all other kingdoms. Well, He came and He set up a kingdom that has dominion over all other kingdoms. But thank the Lord, it is a kingdom within. It is a kingdom, He said, that doesn't come with observation. It's not something that you're going to look for to come with these literal natural eyes. It's not something that you can measure the greatness of this kingdom by the oppression of other people or by the conquering of other people or nations. But what I want to come and do for you is come and conquer the enemy that is within. I want to come and conquer you. I want to come and conquer sin that is within. The only thing that could ever do it. Thank the Lord that He came to give deliverance from the strong man that came and had a palace, the scripture says, and he held it secure until a stronger than the strong man came and cast out the enemy within, or cast out the strong man. And I'm thankful that the Lord is able to do that, that the Lord is able to conquer that that is within us. Of our very nature of sin that would lie within, the Lord is able to conquer and give complete victory over those things. Jesus said in the 7th chapter of Mark that it's not the outward things that I'm coming to set straight here, but it is the inward things that defile a man. It's the things that are coming out from within you that is defiling you, that's making you corrupt, that is defiling your life. And that's what I want to deal with. I'm not interested in delivering you from the oppression of the Romans. I'm not interested in delivering you from those that would be your enemy. I'm interested in delivering you from yourself. Delivering you from sin that would bind you. But I believe that it goes even perhaps a little closer than just whenever we were out in sin. Whenever we were bound by sin and the Lord came and conquered that enemy of sin and death. There is a song we sing sometimes, number 299. I'll say the great word. It says, the foe in the temple, how often I've pondered my struggles within, between the good spirit and indwelling sin, a foe in the temple not subject to God, but now I am free through the wonderful blood. I find there a place that there is a foe within the temple. There is a foe inside that's not subject, that's not conquered. But there is, through the wondrous blood of Jesus, there is conquering power of the enemy that is within. You know, I believe that only through submission and consecration are we going to be able to conquer the enemy that would lie close to every one of us and the place that he would work within our lives. Yes, even those of us that are saved. Whenever we give our lives to the Lord, and the enemy would try to work with every one of us. And we may have battles and struggles sometimes, and the enemy wants us to be as the Jews were, looking outward, looking at the circumstances around us, or looking at the people that I'm dealing with, looking at the things that I'm encountering, this circumstance and this situation. Lord, I want you to change this. Lord, I want you to change them. I want you to take this thing out of my life so I don't have to deal with it anymore. But all the while, the Lord is interested in conquering places in my life that I need to be able to overcome, that I need to be able to gain more ground and set my foot on some more land in my life. Lord, I have some places that I need to conquer, that I need greater victory and greater grace in. The Lord wants to deal not just with the outward circumstances of our lives, not just with the other person. Marriages across our land are in shambles today, in trouble today. The very institution of marriage is under attack today. But you know, there is an enemy that would work within, that would get in and try to destroy marriages, relationships, and get into a situation, or as a little strife and contention begin to work. And it's so easy, isn't it, to see the other person. It's so easy for me to look at the other person in the situation and see the fault there and see the problem there. But I want to be of a mindset, Lord, help me, that there not be an enemy within, that there not be something within me that's causing me trouble. That's where I want my focus to be. Lord, conquer the enemy within. There are ways that the enemy will try to infiltrate the ranks. You remember, I believe it was the king of Syria, whenever they were coming up against the children of Israel, and they would go up and they would lay plans to meet at this place and to conquer in this place, and they'd go up and their plans were thwarted over here. So they'd go up to this place and their plans were thwarted there. Finally they said, who is it that's against us here among us? Who is it within our ranks that has betrayed us, that is a traitor to us? Well, what they soon realized was that it was a man of God that the Lord was talking to. But they began to look at it and assess the situation and say, you know what? There's something here. We're not even able to get to the enemy. There's something within the camp here that's causing trouble, that's causing the problem here. One of the most serious problems in warfare, if you should get someone that is able to penetrate the ranks, to get into behind the lines, to get into the camp as a traitor, someone perhaps that would, it's what Judas did, perhaps to be able to get into the inner circle and work from within. There's a time that Sambalat, whenever, if you'll remember, whenever Nehemiah was trying to rebuild the walls of the city, and he tried to come up against them, and he tried to thwart their efforts on every hand to rebuild the walls of the city. One of the ways in which he tried, if you'll read, you'll find that he sent someone within the city. He sent someone to try to hinder and try to discourage those that were working the work within the city. An enemy within. The Apostle Paul, read about in the 7th chapter of Romans, struggled with an enemy within. We're familiar with the account of it. He said the things that I would do, those I don't. The things that I would not, those I allow. That which I hate, that do I. If I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I believe my understanding of this passage is that it's talking about an experience under the law. That is talking about an experience where grace is not able to come in and work. And Paul was finding himself in a place, I want to do it. I want to do right. But I don't find the grace to be able to do it. I don't find the ability to be able to do the things that I want. There is an enemy that is within that needs to be conquered. You know, none of us could get into a place that we begin to trust in ourselves, that we begin to trust in our own ability or gain confidence in our own ability to walk the Christian walk, but only by faith in the Lord from day to day. Paul realized that in him dwelt no good thing. That enemy, that foe in the temple, the Spirit of the Lord through consecration and sanctification wants to be able to give us victory and grace over those places in our lives that sometimes are so close lying that I can't even see it. Sometimes whenever I get into the circumstance, I can get a little bit far-sighted. I can get into a place that is so easy to see out there, and I'm watching and I can see the problems and faults with other people around so well. But the things that are within, I'm not able to see. The things that lie so close to me, I'm not even able to see those things. You know, the Word of God that we read about in the first chapter of James, whenever it says, he that heareth the Word, that it say he's like a man that looks into a telescope or a mirror. Unto the man that looks into the mirror of the Word of God, that gives a reflection of me, of the things within my life, not that my focus not just be without, but that I be able to see within and be able to understand. Scripture says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Lord, I need to be able to see those submerged rocks that would shipwreck my ship. I need to be able to see those thought patterns, those attitudes, those ways of thinking that I can get into that are so close lying. You know, if we're not careful, the enemy can get in and work through our thoughts. You ever have the enemy do that? The enemy disguises his voice to sound just like my own thoughts. To sound just, and he can even try to disguise his voice to sound like the Lord, can he? To be able to get in and so disguise it so that it just looks like my own reasoning. And my own reasoning is always right to me. My own reasoning always looks just and justified. My cause is always justified to me. Lord, I need to be able to more objectively though see and inspect my own heart and my own life, that I be on my guard lest an enemy should be able to creep in. Scripture says that only by pride cometh contention. You know, pride is something that's so hard to see in ourselves. We can perhaps pick it out and say, you know, they're prideful. You know, look how prideful that look. But whenever it comes to me, and I can say it, because I've had the Lord come to me at different times and say, Clint, that's pride. The way you're looking at that, the way you're thinking about that, it's pride. And I've even, in praying about it and thinking about it, said, well, Lord, that's not pride. That's not what that is. It almost felt hurt to think that that could be pride at work. Or, Lord, that you could be saying that is pride within. That's not pride. I don't have pride within me. but it's something that I can become so accustomed to. I've used the illustration before of the little guest house down at our property that we just sold, that we noticed a peculiar smell to it. It always had just its particular unique odor to it, but whenever you walked in and you were in it for a while, you didn't notice it anymore. But if someone else went down and they stayed there and they came back, you could smell the smell of it on their clothes or their person. It's something that you can become so accustomed to. And that's the way that it is with our thoughts and with our attitudes and with pride, with the deceitfulness of those things that would lie so close to us. Scripture keeps coming to my mind, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which would so easily beset us. Those things that would lie so close to us that I can get my eyes so focused on everyone else and everything else and all the other circumstances that I don't even see what's lying at my own feet, about to cause me to stumble. The Apostle Paul's testimony was, we'll close in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. I believe he realized that he had an ongoing battle. Said that he kind of chronicled the struggles that he had gone through of brethren, false brethren, of shipwreck, scourging, and all of those things that he went through. But he also recognized that there was something within that he had to maintain victory over. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Also said that his experience was one wherein he died daily. It was a daily process, a daily battle that he fought to try to keep under his body, to try to keep under himself, to try to keep under Paul, that I maintain the victory over. Because if I'm not very careful and very watchful, with the Lord's help and by the grace of God, self is going to rear its ugly head. It's going to begin to rise up in the way that I handle situations and my family and those that I deal with. Self is going to begin to get in the way. Selfish thinking, prideful thoughts and attitudes that can begin to creep in very subtly, very almost unnoticed if I'm not very careful. And what I'll find is that there is an enemy within. Whenever I begin to struggle and it seems like it's every circumstance's fault, and it's the door's fault, and it's the toaster's fault for burning the toast, and it's the neighbor's fault for letting the dog out, and it's the other driver's fault for traffic jam and all those kind of things, at some point I have to say, Lord, maybe there's an enemy within. Lord, maybe there's something here within me that I need to work on, that I need some grace here, that I need to be able to overcome this. You see, we're not just talking here about sin, but it's about those things that would try to creep into our lives and into our hearts, that would serve as an enemy to us, that would be a stumbling block to us. So my encouragement to us this afternoon, be watchful and prayerful and introspective by the grace and help of God. Lord, help me to be able to recognize, identify and conquer any enemy that is within, any enemy that would try to overcome, anything that would try to sneak its way into the temple, not subject to God. I want to be able to identify and recognize those things. And as the Apostle Paul, whenever self or the flesh begins to rise up, that I can notice it and be able to do warfare against that place in my life. Be able to overcome it. That phrase to keep under, as I understand it in the Greek, is to give myself a punch under the eye. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's something where I've got to die out to self. I've got to die out to my own way. I've got to be willing to say, I'm wrong. I've got to be willing to say, I'm sorry, to humble myself. Sometimes I have to be able to say to my family, I'm sorry, I've not had a good attitude. I've not been handling this thing very well. I'm sorry, help me. But I want to be able to see myself. I want to be able to understand. Who can understand their faults? Who can understand their ways, the Scripture says. But the Lord can help us to be able to see. The Lord can help us to be able to be on our guard without the camp. To be able to see any place that the enemy is trying to encroach. You know, I believe, knowing those of us that are here, that every one of us can see the dangers that are out in our nation. To see the pitfalls that lie in store for our nation. The places that our nation is going that we sometimes think, come on, what's wrong? Open your eyes. Look at the direction that you're going. That's so wrong. It's so black and white. It's so clear, and I can see those things. Lord, help me to. Lord, help me to be able to keep a clear vision. To be able to see right as right and wrong as wrong. That my mind not get clouded and confused. But I also want to be able to see not just the things that are without, but the things that touch me. Because I've dealt with people even before that can see the problems in the nation. That can see the problems of sin that's plaguing our country. And yet there's sin and there's places in their own lives that they don't see. Because it lies so close. There is an enemy within. He's camouflaged. He's hard to see. He gets in and he creeps in and tries to hide unnoticed. But many times the enemy within can do more damage than the enemy without. You ever heard said, the greatest enemy is ourself? Because the enemy of our souls, wants to work through us. He wants to work through our flesh, through our humanity, through our weaknesses, through our just the flesh that we deal with from day to day. The enemy wants to get in and try to take advantage of those things. Lord, help us that we be able to see the enemy for what he is. Whenever he changes clothes from the wolf that is without, and he puts on the clothes that looks like me and my thoughts, that I'd be able to see and conquer and have victory over the enemy within. You pray for me. Amen.